Grace to you and peace from God, who has created all things and who sends the word to live among us. Amen. I'll keep it short this morning. This is sermon number 3 in the last 2 days. It's really easy stuff. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. It sounds so pretty and yet a little scary. I don't know about you, but I like my gods far off and safe. They're much easier that way if you can talk about God in an abstract way. And keep God safely on Mount Olympus or deep in the sea or in some kind of theoretical nebulous. That's where gods belong, because that way they don't bother us over much. We can just go about our business and pretend like we are all in control. Feels good that way. In a way, I think we're made that way. To want to control our own destiny, to be who it is. I mean, I love the ad, be all that you can be. Pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And if you fail, it's your own darn fault. You deserve everything you get. But if you're successful, it's all you. Well, neither is true. And both statements fly in the face when God is no longer far off and safely away. When the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, as John says. When the baby is born right in the midst of our world of poverty and pain and difficulty and joy and richness and fullness, when the Word becomes flesh right where we are, then in a way individualism and narcissism and the self-made person begin to crumble. Because when the Word was made flesh, that Word of love became flesh and dwelt among us, we were changed. Imagine for a moment, you have been living very quietly by yourself or with your significant other for 20 years. You have your patterns, don't you? None of you, right? None of you have a routine, do you? Yeah, you all laugh. My routine is my eyes open, I walk to the coffee pot. And if there's anything between me and the coffee pot, God save their soul. Now imagine a stranger moves in with you unannounced, makes camp in your house uninvited. What happens to your routine? Right? At 5:30 in the morning, or for my case, 5:15 in the morning, my eyes open up, I get out of bed, and I'm headed to the coffee pot, and they've put tea in it. An abomination before God and man alike. Or even worse, you go to the bathroom, and there's already someone there. What will you do? Frankly, that's what happened when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We no longer are able to just keep on our own way, on our own path. Have you seen the ad for investing where the guy consults his investment consultant and they draw a green line for him to his retirement. And it's a nice, straight line. I don't have the same investor. Right? And then he sees something he really wants and he starts to go off the line. And the investment counselor goes, tut, tut, tut. Jumps back on the line. Well, the word became flesh. Dashes our lines to nothing. We no longer get to live just for ourselves. We no longer get to be selfish. We no longer get to have our plans uninterrupted and well planned out and scripted, because that word made flesh says things like, love your enemy. They're not on my green line. The word made flesh says things like, set the captives free. It's not on my green line either. It's really quite inconvenient. The word made flesh even says, when church gets in the way of faith, you should stop it and do what I call you to do. It's not on the green line. You know, frankly, the word becoming flesh is becoming rather inconvenient and a bit of a pain. But that's the point, isn't it? Because it is also the word made flesh that when we've been diagnosed with cancer or a loved one dies, it is the word made flesh that brings us comfort and hope. When we are at our most joyful, the word made flesh dwells with us. It may be that God's plan, whatever it is, if there is one, may not be our plan. And in many ways, this little child has come into our lives unlooked for and unasked for, but is recreating us again and again in God's image. It's hard to set aside our agendas. It's hard to look out for others. It's difficult to have our plans interrupted. But that is what the Word made flesh does for you and for me. So maybe more than anything else, this Christmas day is just God's way of interrupting us, of drawing us out of ourselves so that we can be God's people. So I leave you with God's holy interruption. The Word made flesh. And may that Word made flesh keep us unbalanced and moving and dancing and singing and giving praise. For the Word was made flesh and dwells right in the midst of you. Amen.